Mr. Diltz, I have to say, that beard and mustache make you look very different.
You think so, Danny? Well, ever since I heard about Chester and his oil, well, I stopped shaving.
What's your game?
They've only seen me on TV and in pictures, but never in person before. I hope it will be enough.
Just make sure you don't run into Miles Morgan while you're there. Remember, he used to work for you.
Oh, don't I? A bungler. I'll make sure the jailbird doesn't see me.
What is Derek Diltz planning to do? Will the Brennan Museum of Creation be able to survive the challenges? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the rescue at Cerro Pedernal.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Park. My family and our friends, the Brennans, run a museum in Abiquiu, New Mexico.
Hello, Brennan Museum of Creation. Dr. Park speaking.
Hi, Kendall. This is Jack Zane.
Jack, hey, how are you?
Doing well. Do you remember what I said on Snake Island?
I sure do. You mean...
Yep, I'm keeping my promise. I said if we lived through all that, I'd come and see your museum. I'm nothing if not a man of my word.
Jack, that's great.
And the rest of the Explorers Society is coming too.
Well, that's even better.
We're passing through Santa Fe on our way to a meeting in Florida. We'll see you the day after tomorrow.
We'll be waiting.
That afternoon, Pastor Fletcher was trying to keep an appointment.
Come on. You've got to start. I'm going to miss lunch with Dean. Ah, this car is so old. I can't afford it right now. Hello, Pastor Dennis.
Just me, Dad.
Glad it's you. I'm sorry I'm late.
Let me guess. Your car won't start again?
How did you know?
That old clunker never starts anymore. But hey, don't worry about lunch. I got busy and I'm not going to be able to make it anyway.
Dean, one of the reasons I took this passport was to be closer to you. I want to talk
over... All right, Dad. We'll find a time to get together and talk, but today's not going to work, okay?
Okay, son.
I'm really sorry. Talk to you later, Dad.
Maybe we could have horseback rides.
I like that idea.
Yeah, that does sound great. I just wonder if it's going to be enough to bolster our attendance numbers.
Whatever we do, we need to do it fast. Each day it's slowing even more.
Kendall?
Yes, Zach?
There's a man who wants to see you right away. He didn't give his name.
Huh. All right. Tell him he can come in.
Okay.
I wonder what this could be about.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Mr...
Oh, Andre, just call me Andre. All my friends do.
All right, Andre, I have a seat. Make yourself at home.
Well, thank you for seeing me on such short notice. I'll get right to the point. Attendance has been down at your museum, and that cattle stampede the other day didn't help matters any. I might be willing to help you out.
How'd you know about that?
We want to buy the land the Brennan Museum of Creation sits on. We have the capital to repurpose your facilities. We'll give you a considerable sum of money that would enable you to start a museum somewhere else.
Well, sir, this land has been in my family for a few generations. We thank you for the offer, but we're not ready to sell right now.
Well, don't be too hasty. I'm prepared to pay the amount of money I wrote here.
Wow!
Wow, that is a very generous offer, Andre. But I'm afraid we're not interested.
You may not have a choice. If attendance plummets any further, you could be in real trouble. If you'd allow me a little bit more time, I'm sure we could negotiate a price that would work for both of us.
Kendall, Miles is here. He just signed for the new shipment of fossils. Can I send him in?
Oh, okay, great, Zach. We'll be with him in a minute.
Oh, my phone's vibrating. I better be going.
But... You just said that you wanted more time.
Oh, yes, but something urgent just came up. But perhaps we could talk again sometime soon.
Dennis! Dennis Fletcher, how are you?
Frank, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, blessed as always. I haven't seen you since the conference in Orlando. I heard you've taken a pastorate locally.
That's right. Great bunch of people.
And Jenny and Lorraine, how are they?
Doing well. Lorraine hasn't had any sign of cancer for a few years now.
Oh, Dennis, that's wonderful. And Dean?
He's doing well.
Terrific. Well, come on in. Welcome to the Santa Fe Pastors Association meeting.
Spam?
Well, I guess we could have come up with a little better acronym. Anyway, these meetings are always such a blessing. We've got a fantastic guest speaker tonight.
Really?
Yes, he's talking on the age of the Earth.
Hey, that's great. I've just been studying that myself.
Well, find yourself a place. There's coffee and donuts in the back. I'd better go up and make the introduction.
Okay, Frank. See you later.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, we have a very special speaker who will be keynoting our event. He's traveled extensively. He was just passing through town and agreed to take time away from his busy schedule and address our group. He has a master's degree in theology and is also a PhD geologist for the Explorer Society. Our guest will be speaking on science and the Bible. Everybody, allow me to introduce you to Dr. Daniel Priest.
Thank you. Tonight, I'll be talking about one of my favorite subjects, the age of the Earth. Millions or thousands?
Hello, Chester speaking.
Chester, it's Dilts.
Howdy. How's it going?
I tried the direct approach. I made a very handsome offer, and they refused.
Well, that's just peachy. Now what do we do?
A seed has been planted. It's our job to cultivate it.
What do you mean?
Chester, you have to find a way to lower their attendance. If the museum goes under, then the land will be useless to them.
But how am I going to do that?
Well, you'll find a way. Tell your men and get busy.
All right. If you say so.
I say so. Goodbye.
That night, Dad met with Mr. Michaels and Mr. Brennan.
Kendall, I have some great news.
What is it, Henry?
Well, you know how we've been looking for new special events for Visitor Appreciation Day?
Yeah?
Well, I've just landed a fantastic new attraction.
What is it, Henry?
Helicopter rides.
Wow.
I cut a deal with Max Nelson of High Adventure. He's been having a slow time for his scenic ride service in Santa Fe. So when I told him about our event, he was more than happy to offer his helicopter service.
That sounds great.
We can take people up and show them the evidence of Noah's flood.
Yes.
There's the cliffs, Ghost Ranch, and the Indian ruins around Abiquiu.
Hey, I never thought of that.
And the best part is Mr. Nelson is only charging us for the gas plus 25%. He's been to the museum before and wants to help.
Well, when do we meet to make a plan?
He's flying one of his helicopters over tomorrow morning.
Dr. Priest, your presentation was very engaging.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Barnes.
I wanted you to meet my friend, Dennis.
Hello. I have a few questions about your lecture. Before you go, could we talk?
Why, of course. I'd be delighted.
Maybe a restaurant. My treat.
Well, I like coffee. So, Pastor, that's what's being done in scientific research today.
It's all very fascinating.
Well, you see, dating methods show the Earth to be billions of years old.
So you really can reconcile an old Earth with the Bible?
Well, I like to put it this way. Nature is the 67th book of the Bible.
I've heard that before.
Right. If God is the author of both the world and the Bible, then science should be on equal grounds with the Scripture. So if it is clear that the Earth is very old, then we can't deny it. We must realize that our understanding of the Scriptures should be in question.
Right. But lately I've been challenged by a man who says that we need to stick to the plain reading of Genesis, the 24-hour days.
But remember, they must be in harmony. So let's face it, the Bible is full of poetical passages. How do you know that Genesis isn't some beautifully written poem?
Well, I don't.
Exactly. You see, Pastor, science has proven that the evidence for an old Earth is overwhelming. That means that the Bible has to be understood in the light of that research. Pastor, you have to live in the real world.
The next morning, Dad and Mr. Michaels were meeting with Mr. Nelson, the helicopter pilot.
Max, we enjoyed seeing your helicopter and are grateful that you can come so quickly.
And Dr. Park, it was a pleasure to meet you. I admire your work.
Well, thank you.
Glad to do it.
Okay, we need to head out. I'm meeting with our pastor again.
Sure thing. Hey, I'd like to take you guys up tomorrow.
That'll work. Oh, by the way, we have a boy on our team who's been dying to get up in a copter like this. Would it be okay to bring him?
Who's that, Kendall?
Timmy. His dad has been a longtime supporter of ours.
Sure thing.
Dean,
So why are we headed out to talk to these folks?
Well, Ridge, Chester wanted me to assure Dr. Park that we pay for the damages done by the stampede.
Now, why in blazes did he do that, if the whole idea is to try to get rid of this museum?
Oh, he wants to force him out, all right. But the boss doesn't want any evidence to lead back to us. So I have to play the good neighbor. Get it?
Yeah, I got it. So we caused trouble, but not so as you'd notice, huh?
Right. Hey, hold up there. Whoa, boy.
What's doing?
Now, would you look at that?
Hey, it's a whirlybird just sitting on their ranch.
High adventure? Oh, yeah, they must be going to offer helicopter rides for tourists.
My uncle was in Vietnam, and he told me that every second a chopper is in the air just trying to tear itself apart.
If that went down, it might end all our problems right quick.
You know, that could happen mighty easy.
Oh, yeah? What do you mean?
Well, yeah, just one loose bolt could bring the whole thing down.
We don't want to kill nobody.
No, of course not. Choppers can do what they call auto-rotate down, even if the engine dies.
Huh?
When a helicopter engine dies, the wind can continue to spin the blade so it drifts to the ground.
It keeps it from plummeting?
Come on, I'll show you.
You know, guys, I'm Bush.
For once, I'll agree with you, Eddie. It's hot out here.
I mean, Ed's really going to appreciate all the yard work we're doing.
Well, I'm going to appreciate the money he's paying us. I think I might go online and buy a bowling ball.
Okay, I've almost got all the ivy crawling up this tree. Thad, would you help me?
Wait, Eddie, did you say you're going to buy a bowling ball? Are you joining a league?
No way! I hate bowling! I've always wondered what would happen if I stuck some M80s in the finger holes and lit the fuse.
And you think it'd be different from when you did it with the basketball?
Or the beach ball.
Or the hamster ball.
Poor rascal.
Okay, here comes the last of the ivy. Timber!
Wow, you got it all on one bunch.
Hey, what's that?
Oh, wow, that's the old rope ladder to our treehouse.
Look up, it's still there. You think it'll still hold our weight?
There's one sure way to find out. While we were helping at the Shermans, Dad was meeting with Pastor Fletcher at a park.
Kendall, over here.
Hello, Pastor Fletcher. I'm so glad you found a nice shady table.
I didn't think I was going to make it. My car's really been acting up lately. I think I've got bad oxygen sensors.
Ooh, yeah, that can be a little expensive to fix.
Yeah, that's why we've been waiting. Okay, I wanted to tell you about something that's been eating at me ever since I heard it. I was at a pastor's association meeting, and this fellow came up to speak to us. His name was Dr. Daniel Priest. He said that he knows you pretty well.
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact, we've actually been through a lot together.
Well, he told me that since the Bible's full of poetry, we can't be entirely sure that Genesis 1 isn't poetic. What's your thoughts?
Well, what Dr. Priest told you is a pretty popular idea, but it lacks credibility. Let me show you why.
Really?
Well, the first thing you have to understand is what constitutes Hebrew poetry. In it, we see what are called parallelisms. Here, words are arranged in concepts rather than in rhyme.
I remember a little about this from seminary. But go ahead.
Well, let me show you what I mean with a few examples. One form of Hebrew poetry is known as synonymous parallelism. Take a look at Psalm 2:4.
Okay. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
Right. We see here that both lines convey the same concept, but in different words.
Okay. I see what you mean.
Another type of Hebrew poetry is antithetic parallelism. Now, take a look at Proverbs 15:2.
All right. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Now here, the first line is in contrast to the second line.
Right.
Now we could go on and on and on and talk about types of parallelism in Hebrew poetry, like the stair step, emblematic and synthetic. There are also acrostics, dirges, and accentual rhythm. But the point is that we can determine which passages are narrative and which are poetic.
Yes, but can you really show me a place in the Bible where I can see this in action?
Absolutely. Turn to Exodus chapters 14 and 15. Now, these describe when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. In chapter 14, it's clearly written as a narrative. But in 15, it's clearly poetic.
Really? Let me turn there.
Here, listen to Exodus 14:28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them.
That is definitely a narrative.
Yes, and now listen to chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war, and the Lord is his name. And also verse 8. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, are these verses saying God is a man with nostrils?
Well, no, of course not. It was poetic. So, now relate this to Genesis.
Well, the simple answer is that there aren't any examples of Hebrew poetry in Genesis 1 and 2. Therefore, it's not poetry. It is a historical narrative. And that's why we maintain Genesis is historically accurate.
Meanwhile, the guys and I had climbed up a rediscovered rope ladder.
Oh, wow. How long has it been since we were up here?
I don't know, but this limb hadn't grown through the window like this.
It's really run down.
Be careful. Don't fall through the floor.
Look right here. My old wooden gavel. I can't believe it's still here. Boy, we really used to have some fun times up here, eh? Remember when Eddie tried to abandon ship and jumped over the side?
And the back pocket of his jeans caught the branch? And he was just hanging there for 15 minutes before my dad helped him down.
You guys thought that was an accident? I was pretending to skydive.
So why'd we stop being the Eagle's Nest Gang anyway?
Because we all became a part of the Creation Response Team.
Ever missed those old days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of do.
But it's been good being the Junior Response Team, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has.
But hey, why not be both?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Let's do it. I pronounce all of you official members of the new Eagle's Nest Gang.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yes! Yes!
Guys, I've been thinking about this ever since you gave me that old eagle's nest patch when we were training for the spacewalk.
This makes me so happy. I could jump over the side.
Here we go again.
Later that evening, my dad thought it was time to slow down and regroup. So we all met at a restaurant.
Well, thanks for coming, everybody. I know we've all had a very busy day.
I'm just glad to sit down for a while.
Well, you've been working really hard.
So have you ladies, with all the arrangements for Appreciation Day.
Well, my interaction with Pastor Fletcher has really got me thinking. We need to find a better way to minister to pastors. Even though we've been trying to bolster attendance in the museum, we still can't lose sight of the focus of our ministry.
You're right, Kendall. People in their churches look to their pastors for leadership. Reaching those leaders is one of the most important things we can do.
Okay, now what could we do specifically to help Pastor Fletcher?
Dad, I came across a great verse in my reading today.
Well, let's hear it, Katie.
Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're supposed to speak the truth in love.
Okay, well, I suggest this as our model for reaching Pastor Fletcher. We must tell him the truth, but let's make sure we communicate it in a loving way.
Maybe we should consider some way to show Pastor Fletcher we really care.
I like that.
I know! His car! Today he was telling me that he needed his car fixed, but he couldn't pay for it.
I'll call Lorraine and see if she will go along with our plan. We could borrow it and then get it to the shop right away.
I bet Ernest could fix it. He could get it done and have it back by tomorrow morning.
I like it. And let's also remember to pray for Pastor Fletcher. This is the Lord's work, and if any change is going to come, it's going to be because it's the Lord's pleasure.
Amen.
Absolutely.
While we were out at dinner, someone else was back at our ranch up to no good.
Yeah, you open the engine compartment like this, see?
Ooh, doggies. Look at all those tubes and junk in there. More complicated than my pickup, I can tell you that.
Yeah, ain't it? This here's a Bell Jet Ranger. Now look here. This is the turbo control arm. You see that bolt there? The one held in place by that cotter pin?
Yeah, I see it.
Well, if this here cotter pin were to come out like that...
Hey, I hope you know what you're doing.
Relax. Now then, the motor vibrations will quickly unscrew this connection right here, and if that goes haywire, well, then this whole contraption wants to run away all by its lonesome.
Yeah, and then what?
The pilot will just have to kill the engine, and then the auto-rotation of the blades will allow him to put her down. And nobody would ever know that it wasn't just faulty maintenance.
The next morning, Dad, Timmy, and his father met Mr. Nelson, the pilot, out of the helicopter.
All right, we're ready to go, Max. This is John Sherman and his son, Timmy.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
I'm great.
Now, with his father's permission, Timmy's coming along. You know you're more than welcome to join us, John.
No, thank you. I've never cared for flying, but Timmy loves it. You be a good boy, son, and you do exactly what Dr. Park and the pilot tell you to, okay?
I will, Dad. I promise.
Enjoy your flight, Timmy.
Oh, boy, you bet I will.
Henry, I'm expecting the Explorer Society in about an hour. If they happen to get here before I get back, would you please give them a tour?
I'd be happy to, Kendall.
Thanks, Henry. Okay, Timmy, let's get strapped in. Well, Timmy, what do you think?
This is great. You can see everything from up here. There's a museum and the dinosaur dig site.
Yeah, and right over there you can see the cliffs of Ghost Ranch.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Well, if you look at the topography of the region, you can begin to understand how this area tells a story of catastrophe.
Wow, I can just imagine what that would have been like. Can we go see that area?
That's just what we're up here to do, Timmy.
That's great. We'll head right over there.
So, April, as you know, we need a receptionist. Could you tell us a little more about your resume?
Oh, sure. I was a waitress out in Jersey.
And why aren't you working there now?
Well, they said I wasn't, how did they put it? Consistently competent on the job. Personally, I think it was because I dropped 16 sodas into the jukebox.
Oh, how did that happen?
I tripped over the rug. I mean, it was the manager's fault, you know, an old rug. But it was really strange. After that happened, the jukebox would only play the same song over and over again. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It made me cry every time.
Yes. Well, April, I don't know if you have the particular talents we're looking for now, but...
Say, do you guys want some water? Or maybe some gum? I've got some gum here in my purse right now.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Are you sure? It's the kind with the juice in the middle. It lasts forever.
What I'm trying to say is...
It's no trouble, really. It's what I do. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy. Well, thank you, April. We'll give you a call if we decide to hire you.
Well, okay. But you'd better make up your mind fast. A poison with my skills is in high demand, you know what I mean?
Late that afternoon, Pastor Fletcher and Mrs. Fletcher were headed out for a Bible study.
Dear Lord, please let it work.
You were praying that the car would work?
Yes. This car is single-handedly responsible for increasing both my blood pressure and my prayer life.
Well, give it a try.
It started. And listen, it's purring like a kitten. Wow, it's a miracle.
It sure is.
Why are you smiling like the Cheshire Cat? What do you know?
Just a little secret.
Someone fixed our car for us. You let them borrow it.
True. The Cheshire Cat's out of the bag.
Who was it? Bob Knowlton? Dave Walker? Was it supposed to be anonymous?
Yes. But if you're asking to know...
Nope. If they wanted to remain unknown, let's honor that. Lord, thank you for raising someone up to bless us like this.
Mr. Michaels!
Yes? Oh, hello, Mr. Zane. I've been expecting you. Kendall is up there in the helicopter plotting out a new tour.
Really? What a fun way to spend the day. Oh, this is Mariah Meadows, Glenn West, Dr. Daniel Priest, and Conrad Fillmore.
Mr. Michaels, how do you do?
Very well. I'll be glad to give you all a tour while we wait for Kendall. He ought to be down shortly.
Now, Timmy, if you look over there, you can see the High Plains area. The dinosaurs could have been washed all the way down from there. These high mesas would have been cut by... What is it?
It's the engine. The turbine is running wild. I can't throw it back.
What do we do?
It's a runaway.
Dr. Park, what's happening?
We're going down. Hang on.
Timmy, brace yourself.
Oh, no!
I'm cutting the fuel to the engine. We'll have to auto-rotate down.
Can you make it into the flats?
No, but maybe the high mesa. It's going to be close. Watch out, everybody! We're going down! Hang on!
Will they survive? What kind of danger will be inflicted on the Brennan Ranch? To find out, you'll need to join us next time for part two of Jonathan Park and the Rescue at Cerro Pedernal. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as a joyride turns into a journey of terror in the exciting conclusion of Jonathan Park and the Rescue at Cerro Pedernal.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.